Amen. Praise the Lord. Looking forward to a great service in the morning. Encourage you to be praying. Just believe and ask in the Lord to move in a special way. Amen. At this time, it's an honor to be able to ask Brother Jacob Smith to come. Brother Jacob is no stranger to Truth Camp. He's been around for many years and a part of the camp one way or the other. Anyway, Brother and Sister Smith, Pastor First Assembly in Port Arthur, Texas, now and going to be speaking for us in our evening services this week. Amen. Can we give Brother Jacob a hand of appreciation tonight as he comes?
Amen. Can we give the Lord one more hand clap tonight? Say, boy, we've been clapping for him all night, Brother Jake. I tell you what, he's worthy, isn't he? Amen. So glad to be at Truth Camp. It's hard to believe. 2016. I told my wife on the way here today, I said, it is hard to believe how fast a year goes by. It seemed like just the other day we were all in here last summer. And I tell you, we're just so excited and glad to be with you here tonight. What an honor to be with you here this week. We just are so thankful and appreciate the opportunity in order to minister this week. And we're just going to believe the Lord to help us. Many of you, I say many of you, there was a lot of hands that were raised tonight that this is your first year at Truth Camp. But there are also some familiar faces. And I'll just tell you right now, my desire this week, I'm not here to promote my agenda. I'm not here worried about making an impression on anybody. What I want is the Lord to have his way. Is that your desire? Would you say, Brother Jake, that's what I want. Just wave at me. Make sure I'm at the right camp. I want the Lord to have his way. Would you stand with me tonight as we get ready to get to the word of the Lord? And before we read, I want everybody to do this real quick. Don't act like you're too proud. What I'm wanting you to do, you're shaking the starch out of your clothes, all right? Getting the starch out of your clothes. And now listen, I've been in Texas a long time. I'm glad to be in Texas, but I grew up in the Ozarks, way down in the Ozarks. I'm just as country as cornbread and beans. And so I'm just real simple. But I will tell you, I desire for God to move in our hearts and our lives. And can I just encourage you right here this first night, that the most important thing that we can do all week long, you'd say, well, that's a preacher's cliche, Brother Jacob, but I can tell you the most important thing is what we're going to do right here tonight in these altars, amen. The word of the Lord says that Jacob went to a place called Peniel, and he named that place Peniel, he said, because there's where I've met God face to face. And that's what I believe he wants us to do this week, is to meet him face to face. I don't want to leave here the same way that I came. So look over at your neighbor and tell him, say, I hate to offend you. Go ahead and tell him. But let me just get this out of the way. I'm not here to impress you. You're not here to impress me. But I'm here to get something from God. You want to talk? We'll talk after church. You want to text? We'll text after church. I came to see Jesus. Amen. You have your Bibles tonight, the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. As we're standing, Jonah chapter 1, going to read one verse here as our starting point tonight, Jonah chapter 1, verse number 3. I know that probably most of us are familiar with the story of Jonah, but I want to just concentrate here. As I believe here in the last couple of the months, I've done my very best to pray, seek the Lord as to what he'd want to speak to us this week. And I believe he's got something to say to us tonight. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 3. If you're there with me, won't you say amen? The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, listen here, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to catch this here. It says that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went to Joppa and look, he found a ship. He found a ship. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, and And you just hang on with me. We're going to go somewhere through all of this. But I want to preach on this thought tonight. Burn the boats. Amen. Burn the boats. Look at your neighbor one more time and tell him, say, we're going to burn some boats tonight. Amen. We're going to burn some boats tonight. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray tonight as you would help us. Lord, in this house, we thank you, Lord, for every heart and life represented. Lord, every young person, every pastor, youth pastor, worker. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And we're so glad that we can come together tonight in this house. And Father, I pray you'd meet us here tonight. I pray, Lord, you would anoint our hearts and ears to hear what you would have to say to us. I pray anoint my mind and lips to preach your word tonight, not with the eloquency of men, but Lord, let me be a mouthpiece ordained by the Holy Ghost. Hide us behind the cross tonight, I pray. Let us hear your voice. I thank you in advance that you'll meet us in these altars tonight. Lord, I thank you in advance we'll leave here differently than the way that we have come. And we give you all the thanks and praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Burning the boats. As we look at this text tonight, we see here as Jonah, as I said, we are all very familiar with his story and about the events that surrounded his life. But let me start by saying that Jonah was no stranger to the voice of God. He was no stranger to the presence of the Lord. As a prophet, he had been used of God. He had heard God's voice. And then there comes a time where God speaks to Jonah, as we're familiar in the story, and says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to them because they are on the brink of me destroying them. Their sin, their wicked ways had come up before the Lord, and God in his mercy and grace was out to send a man with a word of repentance that they might have life. And yet in this, we see that Jonah, he looks at the picture, or if you will, he listens as what God is telling him. And we come to find as to where he doesn't like much what he is hearing. He believes, if you will, that the Ninevites, they deserve everything that they're going to get. They deserve all of the pain and agony. They deserve to die. Oh, as they had been an enemy, as they had done much destruction. And Jonah, in his mind and in his heart, he is thinking they don't deserve a chance. They don't deserve the word of God. They don't deserve help or your mercy, Lord. And the Bible tells us as the story unfolds that Jonah, he begins to, in an effort to escape the presence of God, in an effort to miss or to bypass God's will, that he looks to get out of the place as far away as he can get from Nineveh. And the Bible says that he hears that there is a boat that's on its way out heading to Tarshish. And so he goes to Joppa to find this ship. And the Bible here declares to us he gets the fare together. He pays the fare. He gets on to the ship. And he is set in his mind to think that he is going to escape the presence of the Lord. That he is going to escape what God's will and God's plan is for his life. Now we know about how the well is sent. We know all of those things, but I just want to pause here and look at this for a little bit tonight, because I want you to understand, young people, I believe that we are in a day and a time more than ever before that we are at a point where we have to make some real decisions. We have to make some real choices and learn to make some commitments that we are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are going to serve him, that we are going to stand for him, that we are going to live righteously in an age and a time filled with unrighteousness. My heart is heavy tonight, not only for our nation. We come to find and look and see there's great division going on in our land. There's a separation that's taking place. There are people that are picking sides. There are people who are drawing lines in the sand. And not only is it happening in the world, so to speak, but also in the churches all over this country. We find as to where there are people choosing sides. They are choosing which side they want to be on, whether they want to get real serious or whether they just want to be lackadaisical in their walk with God. Can I say tonight, I believe an epidemic is upon us, and young people, you are not exempt from this. As a matter of fact, I can assure you that the enemy would love right now at this age and at this place in your life to pollute your mind, to pollute your thinking, to get you to a point to say it's not as serious as the preachers have declared. It's not as serious as the Word of God has said. But I will tell you, church, there's a day that's coming soon where there is a separation of the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares. I believe the night's coming upon us when no man can work. And I believe we need to see a generation of young people that one more time will be able to take a stand and say, I've got my mind made up. I've drawn the line in the sand, and I'm going to serve Christ. Oh, listen. We find, because what's happening is, the temptation is this. We come to a place and a point to see where you are going to be challenged upon your commitment. You're going to be challenged upon the things of which you stand for. Some of you already understand that. As a matter of fact, there are some of you that are here tonight, some that I know personally, that you have literally fought hell to be in this camp. You have been through some trial. You have been through some tribulation. Your mind, your emotions, your heart, you can name, fill in the blank, and you have been through it. As we were coming here, I was thinking about situations and thinking about some folks that I love dearly, who in this past year, these past months, has been tumultuous. I know there's not a one of us that can escape the different effects that life is going to have upon us. But what we must be careful of is that when life gets in these tight and tough places, we are often persuaded in our decisions by looking for an easy way out. We are often in the flesh. It doesn't feel good when we are persecuted, when we are pressed, when we are tried. Come on here. There's some of you. I spoke with a young man tonight, and he said, I almost didn't make it. I didn't think I was going to make it to camp. And I said, I'm sure glad that you did. I'm glad to report to you, not just to fill in blank space, but I'm glad to tell you that everyone that is here under the sound of my voice, you're here by divine orchestration. You're here by God's divine plan and His purpose. And I don't want to wait until Thursday night for all of us to be filled up full of the power of God and say, boy, it was wonderful, and wait till then. But tonight, can I say, I believe God wants to challenge us right here on Monday night to say, Lord, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to do what you have called me to do. Some that are here, there's been a wrestling match. Some that are here, you've been wrestling with God's call. You've been wrestling and struggling, maybe with sin and bondage that's been going on secretly, some that others don't even know about. There are things that are going on in your life, and some you'd say, Brother Jacob, it's been painful, it's been a process, it's something that I haven't even shared with my closest friends. The pastor don't know, the youth pastor don't know, different ones aren't aware of what I've been facing. But I will say tonight that one of the things I believe that we must recapture is we must recapture a new and a fresh desire for the power and the presence presence of God like we've never had before. Listen to me, young people. I don't want to get in a place as to where we've learned the routines and the function, as to where we've learned the songs. We know when to shout. We know when to raise our hand. We know when to cry. But God, if you would, give us a sovereign move one more time in the last day. And I pray that our heart says, let it start right here with me in my life, in my heart. Let me embrace the fact that there's nothing greater than the presence of the Lord. Nothing. Come on here. There's nothing greater than the presence of the Lord. Somewhere in Jonah's blind ambition to have his own will and his own way, he had forgot the fact that the thing that was most precious, that was most powerful, was the presence of God, the will of God. And we find in this as to where he looks for this ship to escape. Now, I'm going to use boat and ship interchangeably, so you forgive me if I'm out of dynamics or measurements or specifications. You just bear with me tonight. But I will say that when we look at this, he was looking for a place of escape. And what happens is we have come to a place that when we are challenged in our commitments, that when we are challenged in our stand for God, you better be rest assured that Satan's going to have himself a ship. He's going to have himself a boat. He's going to have himself a place that'd say, this is a whole lot easier. This is a whole lot better. You will find peace of mind here. You ain't got to worry about people's opinions here. You ain't got to worry about a trial here. Just hang out in this ship. Can I say tonight, I believe that there are some things that we must look at, because if we're not careful, I believe we could look in the spirit and there might be some Jonas that are in the house, that are hanging out, sleeping in the ships, that are trying to find an escape, that are trying to find a way to circumvent what God's will is. Oh, because, well, Brother Jacob, you don't understand. What God wants to do is not popular amongst my friends. What God is wanting to do is not conducive to what my 5-year plan for my life was. What God wants to do in my life is going to cost me maybe some popularity. Going to cost me maybe some so-called friends that I had. And I'll tell you, there was a temptation to look for the ship to escape. Oh, but young person, can I remind you tonight, we don't have time in this day and in this hour to be running around trying to find a way of escape, trying to circumvent God's will. Oh, but I pray that God would raise us up to have a little bit of tenacity, have a little bit of boldness, have a little bit of stamina to get up and say, I'm going to serve God. I want to do the will of God. Oh, as we look at this, and we see as Jonah was on the run, at some point he had forgotten how important, how precious the presence of the Lord is, how powerful the kingdom of God is. If we're not careful, we are waning. We are spiritually suffering. We are losing power due to the fact that our commitment is no longer what it used to be. We must decide, and I believe we must decide tonight, who we're going to serve, what our priorities will be, how we are going to live holy, amen, and what we will pursue. We must come to a point where we will say within ourselves, I am done chasing comfort. I am done chasing convenience. I am done with casual living. I look around, Brother Jacob, and all it has brought me is heartache, heartbreak, frustration. Oh, Brother Jacob, I find myself oftentimes in and out, up and down, feeling saved one week, feeling lost the next week. I want to remind you, you don't have to live in that vicious cycle, but God has given us the power and the victory over sin, over Satan, over suffering, that we can live victoriously. He told the disciples, he said, you can overcome the world because I have overcome the world. You can do it. Now, it's not you by yourself. Of course, it is Christ in us. And that's why we must recapture a passion. That's why we must regain a focus and make again spiritual priorities in our lives and say that I am done with casual, comfortable living. Oh, but Lord, I want your will and I want your way. Lord, I want to step into the destined plan that you have. When we look here, we must understand the Word of God reminds us in different places about where we are heading, what we should be pursuing after. Matthew chapter 13. Verse number 44, starting there, it says, Jesus speaking again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure that is hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth it. And for joy, therefore, go and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Young person, can I say tonight, I believe that the kingdom of God, that the presence of God is still worth giving everything for. It's still worth selling out for. It is still worth, I want to tell you tonight, you look around in this world, this sin sick, hurting world, there's nothing here, Brother Javier, that attracts me to want to stay on this planet. I'm looking for a city where the Lamb is a light. I'm looking for a place as to where Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm looking to go through the gates of that city. And can I say that everything that we do on this side of heaven, we must be motivated by the kingdom of God, by the will of God, to pursue His presence, to pursue His will. He said, hey, he said, if a man found this treasure, he said, he'd be sure that he hid it, that way he'd go sell everything that he had. I want to ask you tonight, young person, what is it? What are the areas? What are the things that maybe you're still holding on to? What are the things? What are the ships you're still looking at? Because I believe tonight that there is going to be this cycle of defeat, this vicious cycle of being stuck in a place. It's interesting, and I've shared this before, and maybe you've heard this before, but it's interesting as to how they train elephants for the circus. They will take these baby elephants and they will take a rope and they will tie it to a stake. And if you've ever watched in a circus, you will see these big behemoths of elephants that could do a whole lot of damage. They could pull a circus tent down if they wanted to. And yet they're standing there, Brother Tom. They're just standing there, held on, just staying in place by a little bitty old rope, sometimes just a little rotten rope, and that elephant, he ain't going to move. He ain't going to pull it down, and it's because of the way they train them. While they're younger, they will put them there, and they'll tie them to that stake, Brother Taylor, and while that baby elephant's there, but I mean, he'll give it this, and boy, he'll jerk, and he'll do this, and he's defeated because he don't have the power to change his position because that stake in that tent is heavier than he is. And so, therefore, he grows up. After a while, he's pulling and pulling. He ain't getting nowhere. And finally, he settles for the fact of this is how it's going to be. And therefore, because the elephant has excellent memory, when he is older, when he is powerful, when he could pull the tent down, he will stand there just as tame, just as lame, if you will, standing in that same spot. Oh, can I say, young people tonight, there's some of you tied to a place in your life, and you've been there, and you said, well, I pulled and I pulled, but I wasn't getting nowhere. I tried, Brother Jake. I tried to make some commitments. I tried to make a difference. I tried to stand, and I just can't get free. Oh, but tonight, I'm here to tell you, the sea walker, the blind man healer, the leper cleansing man of Galilee, he's here tonight to to tell you, you ain't got to stay there. It's time to make a decision. I'm going to break loose. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. You see, one of the boats that needs to get burned, one of the ships that you're running to, when things are kind of getting difficult, when God's been dealing with things are tough, is we run back to the ship of old habits. Listen, even though some of those habits, you know they're detrimental to you spiritually. You know it's nasty. You know it doesn't promote you in any way. You even know that God isn't pleased with it. But yet, isn't it something when a habit has been a part of us for so long? It doesn't matter how sick it is. It doesn't matter how twisted it is. It doesn't matter how unhealthy it is. But we find ourselves, when we're looking for comfort, we will run back to those ships of old habits. There are some that are here under the sound of my voice, that there are some things that last year at camp, not to say that God wasn't here to meet you, because He was. I was here. Not to say that you didn't pray, because you did. But somewhere, when the things got tough, when things were not how you thought they would be, when God's plan was uncomfortable, when God's will, listen, wasn't perfect. I just want to give you a newsflash. God, and when you're in God's will, doesn't mean everything's perfect. Doesn't mean everything's comfortable. You can talk with Joseph, sitting down in that prison, falsely accused, sitting there, Brother Byerly, he's got the gift of God inside of him. What you gonna do, Lord? I don't completely understand, but I'm gonna trust you in the process. I'm glad that even though they imprisoned Joseph in the prison, we look and see as to where Brother Tucker, his heart wasn't imprisoned and his mind wasn't imprisoned. He said, I can still serve the Lord even when it's painful. Come on here. You think, well, if I'm in God's will, that everybody's going to applaud me and all the accolades are going to be passed out and everybody's going to be proud of me and ain't nobody going to make fun of me, but they're going to lift me up on a pedestal. Honey, I'll tell you tonight, being in the will of God can be a very lonely place, because there are some places that God wants to take you that only you can go. There were people are going to look at you. I've often said you haven't ever been in God's will until you had somebody real close to you look at you and roll their eyes at you and say, you're missing the mark. Come on here. You're not shouting, but I'm preaching. Oh, said, hey, your eyes, I'll never forget as we were seeking God's will, God's plan for our lives. Oh, can I tell you, we had family who came out of the woodwork, and we had friends came out of the woodwork, and you'll be surprised that when you want to do God's will, how everybody else is an expert on God's will for your life. And there's a lot of young people never get to a place where they are walking in God's will because they have been intimidated by people who have an opinion. Come on here. You are listening to people who have never stepped out. You're listening to some folks that are living in the ship. You're listening to some folks that are hiding out on the cruise ship. Come on here. Oh, they like the crew. They're out there on the sea of tranquility. Ain't nobody rocking the boat. Ain't no storms. Ain't none of this. Ain't none of that. I remember we had an opportunity. We were just 2 years married. We had an opportunity where a pastor out of Green Forest, Arkansas called us. He said, we'd like for you to come be our youth pastor. Would you come meet with us and talk with us? And so we set up a date and a time. So we'll do that. I said, we'll just continue to pray in the meantime. Brother Manning, as we was there praying that week, I was miserable. I knew that God did not want us there. I knew it. I called the pastor back and I told him, I said, brother, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to seem like a jerk. I'm not here to pull your leg or anything like that. But I know God doesn't want me there. I would be a detriment to your church, and that place would be a detriment to me. I begin to tell the family that we turned that down. And everybody had an opinion, said, you lost a golden opportunity. And I've heard some of them, I'm talking about folks that I loved and respect and appreciate. And they look at me, Brother Tom, and they'd say, I don't know if you'll ever get another chance like that again. And there comes a point where when you're pursuing and seeking God's will, it is not always an easy thing. Difficult. Hard. Oh, Brother Jake, come on. You're supposed to have us on our feet shouting, ready to fly to Africa and start a campaign. No, listen. Those things are wonderful and great. But listen, you've got to get to the place to say that no matter how painful the process, that I am going to commit to God's will. Jonah saw pain and he said, I want to escape. Jonah saw pain. He said, I want to get out of here. Jonah saw pain. He heard everybody's opinions when he said, well, you know, God wants me to go to Nineveh. Everybody said, Nineveh? Those folks don't deserve God's goodness, God's grace. You go to Nineveh, you ain't a part of our family no more. We'll break your plate at the supper table. You ain't going to hang with us anymore. You ain't going to do this with us anymore. I mean, we draw the line. Nineveh! Jonah thought, well, I kind of thought everybody would be excited. Brother Tom, he was under those opinions. And so therefore, he said, what am I going to do? What does my flesh do? I'm going to run to the ship of old habits. I'm going to hide out. I'm going to wait till the storm passes. The Bible says he paid the fare to get on that boat. Can I tell you, young person, you run from God's will, it will cost you. You'll pay the fare. You'll pay a price, and it's not easy, it's not pleasant, it's heartache, it's destruction. Old habits, old things, old mindsets, even though they're destructive, that's where we're comfortable. That's where I feel at home, Brother Jacob. Not only do we find those ships of old habits that'll sit out there waiting for you to run to them, but you'll also find where there'll be ships that I can tell you that we need to burn. Some boats that we need to burn are those boats of relationships. Relationships. You see, in order to fulfill God's plan and purpose in your life, I promise you, I'm not saying this to be rude, arrogant, crude. I don't want you to think Brother Jacob is a jerk and don't like anybody. That's the furthest thing from the truth. But I will tell you this, is that there will come along people that God will say, this one needs to be cut out of your life. This one needs to go. You can love them. You can pray for them. But this one isn't so. Can I say to some of you young ladies, I can tell you, I can look across the crowd. I don't mean to pick on Sister Elena, but Sister Elena sitting here by her husband, Brother Keith. And some of you know Sister Elena in the camps as she was coming up. All different ones would tease her. Oh, Sister Elena, come on. You can date this one and you can go out with that one. And, oh, we found you a good man over here. And we found you a good man over there. All this type of stuff. And Sister Elena stayed patient. She stayed praying. She said, I want to do God's will. I don't want to associate with anybody that's going to distract me from God's will. Oh, can I now tell you, now a few years, several years married, a baby and pastoring a church. If I passed her this microphone, she would tell you it's worth waiting for God's will. Listen, young men, young ladies, don't you run to the ship of relationships that'll drown you, that'll kill God's will for your life. Oh, but Brother Jake, you'll understand, I'm going to save her. You understand, Brother Jack, I'm going to save him. I can confirm, no, you won't. How many young people have I seen tragically leave the church over a Johnny come lately? Over somebody they thought was their Cinderella. Come on here. There was one young lady talking with us one time, and she said, oh, she said, I've looked around, I've waited around in the church to find the right relationship, find the right one. And you understand, there ain't nobody there, ain't nobody who's coming along, ain't nobody that I can, you know, identify with. She said, I'm thinking about branching out. You know, I'm old enough, I can go to some clubs, I can go to some other places, and I can intermingle with some different people, and I'll just go there, and maybe I'll find a fella. And I told her, I said, sister, I said, you can find a biscuit in a trash can as well, but I wouldn't recommend pulling it out of there and eating on it. Come on here. You got to understand is that you've got to be careful, because there are some who you are not setting sail towards God's will, because you got somebody hanging on your ankle like an anchor and weighing you down. Oh, but tonight I believe God wants to burn some boats, some relationships that you'd say, I just want me and the Lord, that I might do His will and His plan. Oh, that old course says, the world, the cross before me and the world behind me. Oh, come on here. We need to get to the point, get to the place that we're so in love that we realize the value of God's presence and kingdom, that we're willing to burn some boats. Old habits, relationships, friendships, people, places. I could spend a lot of time on a whole lot of different subjects, but you catch the drift tonight. I want to share with you, as we get ready to close, a story about a Spanish conqueror. Brother Matt, if you'll pull that picture up for me. This is Hernando Cortez. Some of you probably heard about him and heard about the story that I'm going to share with you. If you look at him, he looks like a pretty serious dude, doesn't he? Looks like he means business. Got his face set. His eyes are focused. There he is, looking like he's going to conquer the world. In February of 1519, Hernando Cortez set sail on the final leg of a voyage that was to take him from Cuba to the shores of the Yucatan. He commanded 11 ships with more than 500 soldiers, 100 sailors, and 16 horses bound for Mexico to take the world's richest treasure, the precious jewels, gold, silver, and sculptures sheltered on a limestone peninsula had been hoarded by the same army for 600 years. The quest for these riches began several years before in Spain. Cortez was already a wealthy man, and he had heard about the treasure. For centuries, people had tried to take it to no avail. But ambitious Cortez knew that he could take it if he had the right kind of help. He decided to get more people involved, and he wanted to build an army that could accomplish something that one man could not. So Cortez began to travel around Spain, and he began to talk to people and build a dream inside of them. Since he was already rich and successful in their eyes, as he told them of the bountiful treasure that was theirs for the taking, they believed him. But there was one more level of commitment that Cortez wanted to take them to. And they arrived at the place at last, that historic day, as they lined up to march inland, before they would be allowed to seize the treasure that no man had taken in 600 years. Cortez would speak to them, and he said, "Fellas, when we get out there, we are going to win. And we are going to take this treasure. And you are going to be wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. Your children and grandchildren are going to celebrate your name and the day that you fought this battle because of all the treasure that you're going to take." He said, "Listen," he said, as he got his men together, he said, "What we're going to do," he said, as they were there, and this army had defeated everybody else that was there. And so he called his troops together. He said, "Come here, fellas. Come here and help me. Come on up here, fellas." He said, "Come here. You guys are young, strapping, strong men. Come here, Brother Stephen, and help me." He said, "All right. Now I want you to imagine. I want you to fellas are here," and he says, "All right, here's a game plan, guys. Remember, 600 years, ain't nobody ever took this, but we're here today, and we're going to take this island. This treasure is going to be yours." Oh, and they was all getting pumped. You guys get pumped. They was
was excited. They was celebrating. And most would think that Cortez would have told them, "Now, boys, when we get this, treasure, we're going to party. I mean, we're going to have a good time." And they probably figured, said, "Listen, fellas, now this is a strong army." And they probably thought that he would say something like this: "If the battle gets too rough, you meet me over here behind this oak tree, and we'll hang out over here and we'll kind of wait it down. Don't worry, the ships are parked over here. We'll run and get on our ships and head home," because that's what all the other explorers did. But Cortez did not do that. He got his fellas together. He said, "We're going to take this island. We're going to take these riches." He said, "But there's one more thing we got to do."
Brought it this far.
"What are we going to do, Hernando?" He said, "Burn the boats. Burn." And they said, wait. Our boats? Our boats are the only boats out there. If things get too tough, what are we going to do? Where are we going to retreat to?" He said, "Listen, fellas, come here. Come here. Look. Look. There's treasure to be had. When we leave here, here's what we're going to do. If we leave here, we're going to take their boats home. We're going to burn our boats because we ain't retreating. We're either going to take this island or we're going to die. We're going to do this or we're going to die. Come on, young person. We're either going to do the will of God or we're going to die trying. We're either going to commit to God or we're going to give up and throw up our hands and run to the ship. We're going to follow after God's will or we're going to look for a place of escape. I don't know about you, but tonight in this house, I believe that God wants us to burn some boats. I believe that God would like for us to say, 'I've counted the cost. I've made up my mind.'" Come on here. The relationships, the opinions, the friendships. Come on here. I wish I had a torch. I wish I had a torch in here, because if I had a torch, I think we could burn some boats tonight. Fellas, I wish that we had a torch. You see, I wish tonight there was some young people that, spiritually speaking, would make up their minds tonight to say, "Brother Jacob, I'm willing to grab the torch. I'm willing to burn." Oh, hang on a second. Hang on a second. When they was there and everybody else was standing around and they were saying, "Are you sure that you want us to burn our boats?" Here came a young man, said, "I'm ready. I'm ready to burn the boat. I'm ready to stand fast. I'm ready to do the will of God." I wish there was a young person in this house tonight that would say, "I'm ready, Lord. I'm going to commit to your plan, to your purpose." Oh, listen. When you set out to burn some boats, I would love to think, gentlemen, that they ran over there with all kinds of confidence. But I can picture, I'll just tell you, if it was Brother Jacob, same army, 600 years, ain't nobody beat him. I don't know. Cortez, are you sure? This sure is a pretty boat. I don't know. Cortez, are you sure? That's sure that cost a whole lot of money. Come on, I mean, we got mamas and we got babies and we got everybody back there at home waiting on us. He said, if you're going to do this, if we're going to win, can I tell you, church, can I tell you, young person, if we're going to make it through the gates of that city, we're going to have to get off the ship. We're going to have to burn the ship. We're going to have to say, "Yes, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Yes, Lord, I'm going to burn the boats. Yes, Lord, I'm going to commit to your will and your way." Somebody give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Stand with me all over this house. Music, if you'd come. I want you to take a look, young person. Take a look. Jonah, if he just would have stayed away from the ship. Oh, I know, I've read the story. I know that he does the will of God. I know I know that he finally preaches, but Brother Keith, he went a long way around it. And you see, young people, there's got to be some things that we're willing to say. Take this whole world. Just give me Jesus. Listen to me tonight. You ain't got to be bound by the same old habits. You ain't got to run to the same old relationships. You ain't got to be caught by the same old traps. You ain't got to go back to those same old boats. There's some of you here tonight. You said, Brother Jacob, I've been praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I say that it could be the reason why you've been seeking and tarrying, and maybe there hasn't been the response, is maybe there's still some ships you've been running back to. Maybe there's still some things. Maybe you said, Brother Jacob, I feel like God wants to do something in my life. But it's the same vicious cycles. I've been trying. I don't know what to do. I can tell you what to do tonight. It's time to burn some boats. Oh, Brother Jacob, you know, I've been trying to get myself steady. I've been trying to get myself straight and consistent. I don't know what to do. I can tell you what to do. It's time to burn some boats. Can I remind you tonight that our God is a consuming fire? And if you would allow him access into your heart and your life, if tonight you would allow the Holy Ghost to fall in your heart, he can ignite a fire that would quench and burn some boats, burn out some habits, burn out some traps, burn out some sin. Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. I want to burn some boats. I want to burn some boats. Brother Keith, you come on up here and get ready to take this. Listen to me. I told you from the start of this service, you ain't here to impress anybody else. You said, Brother Jacob, if I make a move tonight, what are they going to think about things that are in my life? What are they going to think about maybe the things that are hindering me? Let me just put all your fears at ease. Everybody in here has issues. Test 1, 2. Hey, I'm making sure it's on. Listen. Everybody in here has issues. Everybody in here has a struggle. Everybody in here has been confronted with sin. Everybody in here has tasted the bitterness of defeat and failure. Satan would love for you to sit in a corner somewhere, find yourself a ship and say, I'm looking for calmer waters. I'm looking for God to bring me something easy. I'm going to tell you something, young people. This is 2016. This world is wicked. Ain't nothing easy. Ain't nothing when you're going to stand for God, you're going to serve Him. It's going to be tough. Going to be difficult. Going to be hard. But you know what the good news is? He's with me. He's a present help in a time of trouble. He's with me. Oh, the good news is, listen. Listen. Give me 3 more minutes. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and labored until his sweat became as great drops of blood. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. You know why? He knew to fulfill God's will was going to cost him everything. He knew it was going to be painful, more pain he'd ever endured. He knew he was going to lay down his life. Listen. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Come on here. In that garden, Brother Manning, you can guarantee every demon of hell was whispering in his ear, just give it up. Just walk away. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to give that up. While he was on the cross, The Bible says they stood there shaking their heads. They said, if you're really the Son of God, come down from that cross. That was an anthem of hell. That was a ploy of the devil. There are some of you that say, I'm hanging on. Oh, but I hear all of hell saying, run, find a ship. Desert God's will. But tonight I would pray our prayer would be, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Jesus. Brother Keith, he symbolically took the torch and burned the boat when he said, it is. Oh, come on here. It is finished. Listen to me. Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll give it up. The Word of God goes on to say that because of the joy that was set before him, he endured, I'm paraphrasing, the pain and the suffering of the cross. Come on here. You know why? He said, because God's going to give me the victory. The Father's going to give me the victory. I want to tell somebody in this house. You say, Brother Jacob, what happens if I burn the boats? That means I'm really committed. That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. And when you're really committed, get ready, buckle up, because you're going to see God do some things in your life like you ain't never seen God do before. Some of you tonight sitting on the bubble of decision, the bubble of God's will. I challenge you, burn the boats. I challenge you, because there's victory. The end of the story, Cortez and his army, they defeated them. They broke the stronghold of the 600-year-old army. And they took the spoils back home with them. Guess what? In their ships. Woo! Come on. That'll make an Episcopalian shout. Oh, come on here. Can I tell you? When you think you've given everything up, I promise you this, if you can give it up, young person, you can have it all. If you can give it up, if you can give it to God, you can have it all. Be willing and put to practice to burn the boats. Your head's bowed all over this place. Oh, tonight you'd say, Brother Jacob, here I am. I'm ready. On this first night, I'm ready for God to do something powerful in my life. You're going to come in these altars and you're going to labor. You're going to cry. You're going to seek God's face. And if you're willing tonight to burn some boats, the Holy Ghost right now speaking to some of you of some boats that need to be set on fire. Some boats that need to be abandoned. Jonah, get out of that ship. And run to the presence of God. Run to the will of God. Run to His purpose in your heart and in your life. You're here, you'd say, Brother Jacob, that's me. That's me. I'm ready to burn some boats. I'm willing to give it to Jesus tonight. I'm willing right here on this Monday night of youth camp. I'm ready. I don't want to wait till Thursday for my breakthrough. I'm starting right here. Tonight, I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to burn some boats. It's not just for the young people. Workers, parents, pastors, whatever your role. May God challenge us tonight to be willing to set it ablaze. And to say, Lord, your will, your plan, if that's you, come on. Let's come. Find us a place in these altars. Won't you come right now? Oh, to say, Lord, I'm surrendering my all. Lord, here I am. Lift those hands to heaven.
I surrender.
Lift those hearts to heaven.
The King.
Oh, come on. Don't you be bashful tonight. Oh, Lord. Here I am. I'm ready to burn some boats. I'm ready, Lord, for your will to be done. I'm willing and ready to quit playing games. I'm ready to quit sinning. I'm ready to quit going back to old habits. the struggle. I'm done with the fight of the same old thing. Come on. Come on. Burn some boats tonight. Burn some boats tonight.
To you, O Lord. I surrender to the King.
Come on, young men. Come on, young men.
Let the worship arise.
Come on, lift those hearts. Lift those hands. Lord, I'm ready tonight. I'm ready tonight to burn some boats.
I surrender.
Come on, ladies. Same old habit. Holy Ghost, would you help me? Would you help me burn some boats?
Let the sons and the daughters sing. Lord, I surrender in my own to you. Lord, I surrender to the King. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come and let it live in me. This is my prayer. Oh, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and daughters sing.